Thank you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
Privilege we have in prayer is that through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of the Son, I'm able to come into the presence of the Father completely unhindered with great boldness. And God has said He does amazing things to those who come and believe. And so we want to see this church be able to look back day, week after week and say, God has answered this, God has done this. This had nothing to do with us, it had everything to do with us. So I want to encourage you to come that Wednesday, December the 4th. And I believe God will bless it and work in your life. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brother, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and wants to forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Lord, we ask now that you bless the reading of your word, and ask you to speak through this in very imperfect way. Speak to our lives and go very deep to the very core of what you want to say and what you want to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've been looking at genuine faith, that it desires for and depends on truth to permeate life. Now, we saw last week for this to happen, there must be a putting away of all filthiness and rampant or overflow of wickedness. That all has to go on. To put it in terms we might otherwise know, pull down every stronghold of thought and behavior that is already missing today. We're pulling down every stronghold, pulling it down. And it has to be replaced with truth, not just spirit. Now listen to me. We're very open to the Spirit. We want the Spirit to move. We want to see what we ask repeatedly for the moving and the baptism of the Spirit. Yes. But for that to happen, there has to be a truth implanted at the very core of your being. That's what the Spirit does. And that has to be received. Now, real quickly this morning, I don't know if quickly, hopefully it is. How do you receive truth? Well, I see two ways here, starting in verse 1, the first one. To be received with meekness. That's a word we don't use much today. We don't say, well, he's a meek guy. But we equate meekness with weakness. But that's not what this is saying. It's the idea of utter humility. It's the idea, and I want you, if you're keeping notes, it's the issue of brokenness. Now, God arrives, all our false beliefs, all our wrong choices, all our destructive behaviors become the breakdown. Listen to me. Remember what Romans 1 said last week. God will give us over. When I am walking in a way that is not pleasing to God, He doesn't hit me with a lightning bolt. He doesn't make my tires go flat. Oh, I know God's punishing me. I did no. I'm not saying there are times God says, hey, you're really not going to like this. But most of the time God says, is this the way you've chosen? Is this what you want? Even with the nation of Israel, He says, I'm going to pull back. And since you've chosen the idols of Babylon, since you've chosen the idols of Assyria, you can get all you want. Because they're going to come and take you over. Since you thought you'd worship their God, you're going to go full bore into it. And God will simply step back and say, I love you, but you have chosen. It's this idea of a father. He simply says, no, is this the way you want to do it, son? Yeah. Then you sure would. Yeah. All right. That's the faith. Now, I have found the moment I touch that stove, there is something in me that says, I don't want to do that again. Well, you can tell me how hot the stove is. You can tell a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, how hot the stove is. But that 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old is going to touch the stove. Can I get a witness? You touch the stove, didn't you? Some of you are still touching the stove. And you know what? It's still hot. What we sow, we reap. One of our sermons we talked about this issue that God says, now, listen, Adam and Eve, I love you, created you, I'll always be there, I'll never say. But if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. They ate of the tree, and guess what happened? They died from the inside out. Well, you might think, well, you know, God, you overreacted a little bit. They just ate a piece of fruit. No, he told them, if this happens, you do this, this will happen. A God of judgment, a God of his word, you said you've got to trust me. If you eat, you will die. There are no 1 out of 2 out of 3. If you eat, you will die. But we've got to get that principle in our head, because that principle of reaping what we sow runs throughout Scripture. It wasn't just something that happened in the second chapter and the third chapter of Genesis. It runs throughout Scripture. No matter how many times you try to make it work, it's not. Because listen to me. When you get in there, design, everything you do is designed to break down. It is. You can't make it work. You can't prop it up. You can't throw more time and energy and money at it. It will fail. I don't know what it is in your life. The prodigal thought, if I could just get away from this crazy old man. So he walks in and says, I want my part of the inheritance. And the father goes, you sure about this? Yeah. Okay, but it's not going to be what you think it is. How many times have I heard the Lord say to me, you sure you want this? Yes, I have to have it. You don't wish you didn't one day. And so he just let the prodigal go. And when the prodigal go, he didn't send him care packages. He didn't bail him out. He didn't say, keep working harder at it. Prop it up. Give it time. Give it energy. He said, it's going to fail, and I'm going to let it fail. Now, the wise thing that the prodigal did was come back to the father, because there was nowhere else to go. And we have to understand that the pulling down of strongholds does not come through Bible verses. Does not come through sermons. This is information. You can go home and say, enjoy that information. What's for lunch? It comes from all of my defenses, all of my excuses come crashing down. You ever had that moment when everything you thought, every excuse you made, just does not work anymore? It comes crashing down. And now you are grasping for answers, you're grasping for truth, like a drowning man. God will bring you to that point. I want you to listen to me. God is not in the business of bailing you out of stupid. I'm saying it again. It's a point to speak in. So Carl, you used to say it's hard work being stupid. I make it look easy. That's the son of you, but I am not going to bail you out of stupid. You're going to learn from stupid. Some years ago, I was in the jail. I said, how many of you guys, when you get drunk, you get angry? And 2 hands went up. I said, how many of you get stupid? Every hand went up. But we have this ability to act like we just don't know anything. We just keep running. And so God has to allow this to happen. But let me say something. I want you to write this down. You've got to be ruthless with yourself. You've got to quit making excuses. God has to pull it out by the root. And I hope. Now, I'll say something, I want you to get this. It goes beyond suffering. Because there are many who suffer who have never been broken. There are many who suffer and just simply say, I need more money. I need another person. I need another mate. I need another this. I just need another this. And now they've got so many branches of stuff that God has to say, sit down, we need to work. And now the only way you get out of this is surrender. 10 years ago, I went to a place where a horse whisperer was working with a horse. Now, the last person you ever want a horse is me. I'm that guy that still hangs under the horn with everything that he's being and says, my gosh, if this horse starts running, I'm dead. I wasn't born in Okeechobee. I remember the first time somebody got me on a horse, I'm thinking, this looks really fun when you watch it on television. This thing don't kill me. And so, he was working with a horse, never been broken. He's got in a round corral. And all of a sudden, the horse breaks up and starts running. And he looks up, he has a microphone on, and says, no. And he says, run, go. He's standing in the middle of the crowd. He says, eventually the horse is going to realize he has nowhere to go but me. The only way he gets out of this corral is me. And I'm serious. 10 to 15 seconds, that horse turns and looks back at him and says, well, I guess I'm going to come to you. This is what has happened. I want you to hear me before I go anywhere else. The biggest problem we have in our lives is we simply want to kill God how we want Him to do it. Lord, I want you to change my children, and here's how I want you to do it. And He says, thank you very much, but I'm God and you're not. This is the deal. He'll be God and you won't be. Some of you have a real hard time with that. Lord, here's how I want you to fix my husband. How's that working? There has to be a strong point where you realize that Christ is all there is to life. I want you to hear me. I know that's a simple statement, but I think for the fact of the matter is, so many of us never get them. Christ doesn't come into my life and then say, now, as long as you do Sunday, as long as you have a little 15-minute devotional in the morning, the rest of it's yours. He comes in and says, now, let's get the deal. I'm going to be Lord, and you're going to be subservient to me. I'm going to be Lord, and you're going to surrender everything to me. And then once that happens, there's that part of you in the spirit that is drawn to that, but there is part of your soul that says, if I do that, then I have to give up. Yes, you do. God, for God to take me deeper, He has to purge me. So there's a constant purging. I want to walk in the power of God. Are you ready for the purging of God for that to happen? This is very, very important because His truth is final. What I'm trying to do in this series, and Pastor Carey is going to come up behind me and he's going to talk about what it means to obey the Spirit and when the Spirit leads. It's a good follow-up. I truly believe that. I believe the Spirit speaks. I believe He still speaks in my life. He's still asking me to step out in faith, and sometimes He asks me to step out and do stuff that I just can't see. It is constantly saying that healing comes through the Spirit. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. But if I don't have a basis of truth, then the enemy knows how to sound just like Him. Now here's the second. Buckle up. You don't only have to do it with meekness, you have to do it with repentance. Now listen to me. It is not enough just to hear the word and agree with it. It's not enough just to say, you're right. You know I'm broken, but if broken does not lead me to repentance, then I'm fooling myself. Renewing of the mind must result in the reconstruction of the life. Hear me out. I don't care how much Bible you know, if it's not affecting the way you live, then you are fooling yourself. if I know this is wrong to do this, but I do it with the idea that God loves me anyway, He never quit loving you, but He's going to give you over to it. And you don't want that to happen. Or there's something He's wanting you to do, and you say, Lord, I understand you want me to do this, but I'd like to put that on hold. He says, nope, you go nowhere if you deal with it. So if I don't get to the point of it changing my life, well, you say, aren't brokenness and repentance the same thing? No. Repentance is where God desires brokenness to take us. It's how I come to breakdown. So let's put it in. Breakdown comes to brokenness, which brings me to breakthrough. Breakdown leads me to brokenness, which leads me to breakthrough. But for both brokenness to lead me to breakthrough, there must be a deep, deep, life-changing, life-altering repentance. The problem with the word repentance is we only hear it in church. It's a church word. You're not going to go to work tomorrow or through the week and someone say, hey, let's all take some time to repent. You're not going to hear repentance anyway. You're definitely not going to hear it on television. You're not going to hear it on social media. That's a word you don't hear. You hear it in church. And what we've done is relegated it to church, and we'll say, you know, James is right, and what I'll do is I'll come to the altar at the end and I'll repent. That's not repentance. That's only the beginning of the process. This has to be carried through the life change. If the walk in the Spirit does not affect my will, I have not learned to walk in the Spirit. It has got to be lived out in repentance. So, if you will, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. And I want to read to you what Paul, the Apostle Paul, says about repentance. Now, if you ever wonder, I want you to go to this passage, because this is where Paul begins to nail down what repentance is. Because if you remember, in the first epistle, 1 Corinthians, they were messed up. They were so enamored with their identity. They were so enamored with their prosperity. They were so enamored with all this stuff because they lived. Corinth was the Vegas, the New York city of the day. It was rich. What happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. And we're proud of that. And so here's a group that was so enamored with their identity, they were going around saying, you know, I'm really a king, I'm really a king. And Paul said, I wish you were kings, but I wouldn't have to be out here getting my butt kicked all the time. You've got something going on in your church that a man's sleeping with his stepmother, and you're saying, well, you know, we have to love and tolerate. But you're like, stop, don't talk about it. Now, the fact that when I just said that, you're like, ooh, you're being a little harsh, shows you how far into Corinth we are. If there is one book in the New Testament that shows the American church, it's the book of 1 Corinthians. You read that, and you say, oh my gosh, he's reading my mail. They were fighting among themselves. This one was more spiritual than that one. This one was doing all the different. They had an issue of money in the 2 Corinthians. He has to do with the issue of what they're doing with their money. Woo! So, Paul says, let's talk about repentance. Let's talk about what it is. Verse 8. And even if I made you grieve or I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that that letter grieved you. But only for a little while. See, it had to bring them to brokenness. It had to bring them to the point where they're like, oh, my goodness, Lord. We're wrong. Let's just say the word. Can it fit, Joe? Wrong. How hard is that? Some of you, it's a word you don't use during the week. Honey, you did this. I know, honey, but let me tell you why. Now, let's start with the fact you were wrong. He goes, the Christian church has to step back and say, we've misunderstood it. We thought it was all about walking in the Spirit and wherever the Spirit led in my giftings. And he says, if those are not brought under the truth of the Word of God, you are taking them out of bounds. Verse 9. As it is, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you grieved into repenting. I want you to circle that if you got the ESV. You were grieved into repenting. You were broken into the breakthrough because you repented. For you felt a godly sorrow, a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. Verse 10. For godly sorrow, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation or leads to deliverance without regret. Whereas worldly grief, sorrow, produces death because it gets stuck in regret. For I see what earnestness this godly grief has produced you, but I see what earnestness to clear yourself, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you prove yourself innocent in this matter. So let's unpack this a little bit. The Holy Spirit's conviction is going to bring you to grief. Why? Because you are feeling the grieving of the Holy Spirit. And your soul will begin to feel that sorrow and grieving of the Holy Spirit. He's not grieving because he's mad at you. He's grieving because he sees what you're doing to yourself. It's the grieving over that child that you think, why do they keep doing? You just see them going deeper and deeper, and you're grieving over where they're going. You begin to feel that sorrow. You begin to feel that grieving. And you begin to regret your life as you see your stuff as it really is. You see it, number one, as an affront to God. That is a big statement I want to draw. So many of us are living a life by thinking, God loves me so he won't care. Not true. He loves you and he does care because he does love you. You look at a child and say, you know, I know you're destroying your life, and I want you to know I don't care. Yes, you do. You grieve over it constantly. You can't go to sleep at night. You're grieving over that child. You're brokenhearted over that child. You want that child to begin to feel that brokenness you feel because they begin to see that you see what they don't see. Isn't that terrible as a parent when you see what they don't see? You're crossing a railroad track with a train coming, and yet a 19-year-old goes, I can beat the train. No, you can't. Front to a holy God. And then you begin to see the hurt and pain and destruction you've not only brought in your life, but in the lives of other people. Every sin in my life is a ripple effect. This is the lie this world has told. It hurts nobody but me. Not true. Every sin that's in my life overflows into wickedness. It hurts other people. It destroys relationships. And you begin to say, I can't believe I did this. How I could do this. But you must understand that is not repentance. That's regret. Listen to me. The danger with too many of us is we get stuck at regret and we never go beyond it. And so, what ends up happening, as I truly feel sorry for what I've done, I truly feel sorry for what I'm doing, yet in actuality, I've only deceived myself in the fact I've repented. I had a man in church years ago, in the first church I served in. I loved him. You could tell he knew Jesus. He wanted to love him with all his heart. But he had some stuff in his life that he would never deal with. I can't tell you the times of the sermon he came and weeped. But I knew he was going to go out and never really repent because he was going to keep doing it. If repentance does not bring me to the point of forsaking my sin, it is not repentance. Say it again. If repentance does not bring me to the point of forsaking my wrong beliefs, my wrong choices, my destructive behaviors, it is not. It's regret. And so I get stuck there. So what is repentance? Let's put it in words. Worldly sorrow brings regret that brings death. Why? Because it's focused on myself. There are some people that are so full of pride, they walk conceited, and their tongue is so full of shame, they live in depression. They're still focused on myself. Walking here And I can't remember if I can even walk in this church. I've done so much wrong this week. And the Lord says, no, I want to bring you to freedom, not just the fact that you're wallowing around and you're sorry. Some of us just wallow around in sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Pastor, I'm so sorry. Pastor, I've messed up. Pastor, I've done this. Yes, but you can't stay here. You just wallow around in your grief. You wallow around in your sorry. And God wants more for you than that. James chapter 1, verse 23 and 24, we read, talks about a person who sees himself in a mirror. He sees himself in truth and looks at it and flippantly ignores it and goes out and lives any way he wants to live. This, in 2 Corinthians, is another thing. It is the person that gets stuck in the mirror. I've gotten stuck in the mirror. Oh my God. Look at this. Oh my God. What is this? Oh! Listen, why do you wear all this? This needs to be covered for your sake. You're going to walk around all day going, oh, 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 chocolate milkshake, please. Oh, oh, yeah, I should be walking, but I'd rather see six more reels on my phone. I'm not repenting. I'm wallowing around in my grief. I'm wallowing around in my sorrow. I'm wallowing around in it. I'll sit down with Carrie and say, Carrie, I really looked at myself good and I don't like what I see. Okay? If you don't do something about it, you're not going to like what you see even more. Because at 40, I really didn't like what I see. But wait till you get to 60. Listen to me. 60 is that eye-opener that goes, what have I done? Mickey Mantle said some years before he died, he said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd taken better care of myself. Listen to me. This is where so many of us live. We just wallow around in it, and we don't want to deal with it. And what ends up happening is now I'll go to one counselor after another, read one book after another, weeks, months, years of agonizing over myself for no relief because I'm so stuck at looking how terrible I am. I'm so built in my own depression, my own anxiety, my own whatever, what have I done, what will they, and it's a slow death. Well, doesn't God want me to feel sorry? He wants you to move beyond sorry. Godly sorrow brings me to repentance, which brings me to deliverance. Now, focus with me here because we're getting to pull this to me. I can focus on what I've done wrong. It's bad. There's some things I've done that will always be wrong. There's things I've said that I can't change. There's things I've done that I can't change. There's things that I look back and say, if only I had never done that. But you can't undo it. We all have those things that, what was I thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking. Yes, you are. You never quit thinking. You just made a wrong choice. And you have wrong thoughts. And now you just get stuck in the why, and I'm so centered on myself for what I did wrong. God wants you to focus on His grace and His power to make all things new. I want to say that again. God does not want you focusing on what you did wrong. He wants you to focus on His grace and His power to deliver you from what you have done and what you are doing. That's the power of the Holy. He says, the result, it leaves no regret. It doesn't, you're not wallowing around. It says, then you can begin to say, that was then, this is now. For some of you, I want you to just repeat this to yourself, not out loud. That was then. This is a new day. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to show you your sin so that you can realize that I make all things new, that I am your hope. And I am your deliverance. Many of us don't want to accept that. Now, this is where I cannot get the freedom to go back and ask for forgiveness because I realize I can change. People don't change. Through the power of Jesus Christ, people change. Please listen to me.
through the power of the Holy Spirit, God changes people. If He does not, let's close this up and go home, because there is no one. Without the Holy Spirit, I would be wallowing in depression every day of my life. Without the Holy Spirit, I would be a poster child of anxiety. Without the Holy Spirit, I could just wallow around in the fact that I've had this disappointment and this tragedy and this tragedy. And the Holy Spirit comes up and says, get up, let's walk. You can't stay here. But I've done this, and you can't fix it. Get up, walk in life, transform you from the kingdom of darkness to the light of the sun. That's what the gospel is. Some of us need to preach the gospel to ourselves. I can believe He can change you, but I will never believe He can change me. And that's simply not true. Now, when I look at it, my stuff, I can look back at it and work through it, but I don't have to get stuck. Paul said, I forget everything that was behind, and I press forward to the things that are ahead. Please listen to me. For some of you need to write down these two simple words. It's over. Listen to me. Move on. It's over. Move on. Get up with the Holy Spirit and leave it behind. Well, you just can't put it aside. No, you work through it. You wake up. You deal with it. I may have to go to Larry, or I might have to go to Denny. I may have to make things right. But I do it in a position of strength that says, God has not held me here, and I'm going to ask you to forgive. Well, if they don't forgive me, I can still go on because I'm not stuck. The Holy Spirit has delivered me. Listen to me. It's over. I have a child with special needs. It's still there, but I don't have to get stuck with it. I experienced the murder of a 2-year-old, but I don't have to stay there. Yes, they hurt. They will always hurt. But humans also do. And some of us just want to stay because we can't believe I can truly let go of it. And I just want to hate. I just want to feel sorry. I just know repentance. You've got to repent from your anger. You've got to repent from your stubbornness. You've got to repent from your excuses. Be ruthless with yourself. There are no excuses. Then, seeing truth, I saw the death of my actions. But living from truth, I go on to new life. Let me see. What is received? Please listen as I put these last words. Repentance, changed life will only happen when you have replaced what has left with truth. Because if not, the enemy's back to me that I come to the altar and I feel so much better, I've let it all go. And then early morning I hear, everybody knows you're here. They speak to that right. They don't trust. They know what you are. It's not true. Well, when I walk in church, everybody's looking at me and talking. No, everybody's so self-consumed with themselves, they're not looking at you. Let's just get real. Everybody in this room is too self-centered, consumed with themselves, to be talking about you. But you just know because you're so self-consumed. Listen, they'll never let me be free. That is a lie from the enemy. Because it's not about whether we let you free. He has set you free. And you have to walk as free. Yes, you've been hurt. Yes, you've done sin. Yes, you've done wrong. But move on and implant the truth in the empty places. Because if not, you're going to go back. Many times, that's it, I'm not going to do that again, I'm not going to do that again. And yet, well, I'm going to go to a counselor. If I go to a counselor, he'll help me out. You spent 6 weeks with the counselor and you feel better. Man, I went to that counselor, went to Pastor Terry, he helped me. What's next? Get in the Word.
Well, I went to Pastor Terry and he helped me for a while, but it didn't last. So now I've checked out Paul and he takes you through this profile thing. And I've spent 8 weeks with Paul and now I've got it. What do I do next? Get in the Word. Disciple in the Word. Because the enemy will steal the truth you've gotten and you will go back, and this time it is seven demons worse. I can't tell you the times I've gotten over depression walking through it, and yet I don't take the time to really pour into the truth, and the next thing I know, I'm believing the same old lie again, because it goes back to what we saw. We exchange the truth for a lie, and it leads me to destruction. That's why I'm taking these messages. I renew them. I present my body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. And now I let Him renew my mind and transform my life. Could the band come up? I'm going to ask the praise team to come. Now listen to me. It's not about putting rules on yourself. Romans 7 says you're dead to the law. But the root, truth has to take root. This has to become an accomplice. We started this series, and I only got one more message like this. We started this series by saying this truth has to take root. So when the squeeze of life comes, the truth comes out. Because if not, I'm either going to reveal the truth within me or the world around me. If I don't spend time in this, I'm going to cry. You just don't. Have you experienced the fact you've gone to the gym and you've been in there for a good 6 weeks and you're feeling so much better? And then you miss 1 week. And then you miss 2 weeks. And after the second week, you know it's going to hurt again. I'll go back now. That's me. I'll go 8 weeks. I'm really in there. I'm wanting to be like Kyle back here. I want to be the body beautiful. I want to make it work. I'm 6 weeks in. Something delays me. And then that second week, it's like, I'd really rather go to one. It takes time and it takes energy. I have never had my Bible wake up and wake me up in the morning. I have never had it knock on my door. I have never had it send me a text. It has never sent me an email. I'm the one who has to decide what I'm going to do with it. You have to take hold of this with a desperate, unrelieving grip. Here's the problem. We are plagued with biblical living. I want to give you a challenge. I'm going to ask you this for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I did this in the sanctuary last Sunday. I want you to find a passage of scripture, a book, a scripture, a psalm, and I want you to read it every day for a month. That's where you take the book first. You're going to read that through for a month. And let it take root. And then what will begin to happen is when you see your life, you'll say, I just read about this. Oh, it's good. And now the Holy Spirit can pull up that file and begin to speak to you. Because if not, my files are corrupted. Only His leads me to life. So here's about an hour close. I don't know what God wants to do tonight. But I want us to sing that song, Your Name is Power. Why? Because God wants to set you free. Preach the gospel to yourself. I'm open up this altar to some people that say, I have played with regret. I've walked around in sorry too long. It is time to walk to repentance and find deliverance. It will mean dealing with unforgiveness. It will mean dealing with the fact that you held on to this pet sin for too long. It will mean that you are going to have to get real with yourself. Because if not, it's just truth. But if you do, it's life. Father, we give this to you and let you have your time right now. This is praise, praise, praise. Let us respond.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.